You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Stockton has been on edge in recent weeks. Police are searching for who they believe is a serial shooter, killing six people in the past year and a half and injuring another victim who survived. The shootings were recently linked through ballistics analysis. Police are not saying that the shootings are race-related, but there is a common theme. The shootings are happening late at night in isolated areas. Four of the victims appear to be of Hispanic descent, and some were also experiencing homelessness. So far, police have shared a grainy security camera video of a person of interest. All of this as Stockton's new police chief settles into his new role, having come over from the San Jose Police Department. So with that, Chief Stanley McFadden joins us now from Stockton. Welcome to Insight, Chief McFadden.
Hi, Bea. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's just start off with getting up to speed on the latest into a serial shooter investigation. We understand your department is getting a lot of tips, but anything that you can share that wouldn't jeopardize the investigation?
You know, we are receiving a lot of tips. The community's been great. You know, they've been very active. Even before the rewards were announced, you know, the community was very proactive and wanting to help us any way they can. We received a lot of videos, a lot of tips that we're trying to get through. You know, we're working with our local, state, and federal partners, and we're still at that same thing. You know, we would like to get that person identified. You know, we keep seeing this person, or whether it's a series of people. You know, we keep seeing something similar to that at some of the scenes. You know, we have both the ballistic evidence that leaked the gun to the scenes, and then we have some scenes where we're seeing this person of interest.
Right, because that ballistics analysis linked shootings that span about a year and a half. I mean, they started back in as early as 2021. The first one was in Oakland, and the rest have taken place in Stockton. Was that really the crucial piece to really kind of have this big development after a year and a half of deadly shootings?
Yeah, you know, they had the Oakland case, and then we had our incident last year that we have a surviving victim from. And, you know, what we know is the same gun has been at all these scenes. You know, the gun went underground for over 400 days. So, you know, at that point, we can't truly say that whoever did the shootings last year is that person that is also using that same gun. You know, we just don't know. And this is where we need to just lean on folks that know something to help us out.
You did release some video, surveillance video of a person of interest. And it's kind of hard to make out the person. I believe they're wearing like a sweater and pants and their face is kind of concealed. Can you describe what was captured on the camera? What do you want the public to see when they take in this surveillance image? Because that's really the only image that has been publicly released.
It is. So we really want the community to see how, you know, this person is in the shadows. You know, they're along the walls. They're walking through apartment complexes as, you know, they leave the scene. You know, they're wearing all dark clothing. You know, we've had some indication where they may have a black COVID mask on. But, you know, this person is under layers of clothing and lurks in the darkness, you know, which makes it hard for any video footage, you know, to really show a clear picture.
Yeah. Given all the uncertainty, and there's an understandable concern, collective concern throughout the community, especially since these are taking place late at night when people are alone, what is your department doing in terms of outreach? Are there extra patrols just to help calm residents?
Absolutely. You know, we held a town hall last week where we addressed some of these concerns, and we spoke about how not to be a victim. You know, is things we've always said, not just because, you know, we have this going on, but we've always said, you know, don't put yourself in a position where you raise the likelihood of falling victim of a violent crime or anything else. You know, we've adjusted our special operations units, and they're now working all through the night. It is very important that we try to be as visible as we can and trying to be in some of these locations where it fits the pattern of what's been occurring. We've also been passing out flyers in both Spanish and English just to encourage people to come forward, and if they have any information. Also, it talks more about how they can be saved, how they cannot be a victim, and we're going to continue these efforts as well.
Given that this is a serial, these are serial shootings, and there is believed to be at least one person connected to this, are there certain characteristics that investigators focus on for an investigation like this?
Yeah, well, on this, we partner with our state and federal partners, you know, when it starts to get into profiling and stuff. Right now, we just don't have a whole lot because we haven't had witnesses to really give us any information to lead us to determine what type of person we may be dealing with here. You know, we feel it's someone who's very calculating, very methodical, and is really going through a lot of measures to, you know, cover up the steps that they're doing before and after.
A recent interview with the victim who actually was shot multiple times and survived, her name is Natasha Latour. She's criticized Stockton Police Department's investigation. In an interview with 209 Times, she says that she was experiencing homelessness at the time and police thought it was a drug deal gone bad, didn't take her seriously. This happened back in April of 2021, so more than a year ago. She believes had they listened, it could have saved lives. You weren't with Stockton Police then because this happened over a year ago. But with nearly 30 years experience with San Jose Police Department, a big city with a large unhoused population, a vulnerable population where typically there is stigma attached to this population, what is your response to what she's saying?
Well, you know, that's something I bring over from San Jose is there. I was a deputy chief over there over field operations with would be responsible for the outreach, you know, to our underserved communities as well as in our encampment areas and other areas where, you know, we encounter homeless. And something I've always mentioned there back then, and I'll continue to mention, is that I'm everyone's chief. You know, I my job is to be accessible and responsive to everyone. And it's concerning if that's her perception. I have reached out to her to connect with her. Of course, you know, we are going through all those cases and having follow-up interviews and stuff with her, and we'll continue to partner with her as far as we move forward.
Finally, how much is the reward as of today, and how effective are rewards in your experience?
The rewards are up to $125,000, and, you know, they are effective. You know, we're hearing about people even taking a break from their workplace just to, you know, take part of this. You know, $125,000 could be very life-changing to some individuals. And, you know, the city and Crime Stoppers have been great. We've had some small business owners that have also met the challenge and have also up the rewards as well. So, you know, it's a passionate community, you know, where there's trauma, there's strength, everyone has come together and we're all working together on this.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and we're speaking with Stanley McFadden, who is Stockton's new police chief. Okay, so you were sworn in a little over 4 months ago on June 2nd. You took over for Chief Eric Jones, spent his entire career with Stockton Police, basically. You come from Stockton with nearly three decades of experience with San Jose Police Department. What drew you to Stockton, and what really is a new chapter for you?
You know, I've had a very blessed, unfortunate career, you know, with the San Jose Police Department. And during my time at San Jose Police Department, I've been coaching athletics in Stockton. So I've always been connected with the youth in Stockton. And it just felt like a calling when the job was announced. It just felt like a calling for me to, you know, to be here. You know, I knew there were some concerns with morale being low and crime, but those are things I've always been very comfortable with, and I'm just happy at the opportunity.
Did you move to Stockton or San Joaquin County rather, like,
yes,
20
I'm
years ago? So you're a San Joaquin County resident, a long one, and you would commute to San Jose.
That's true.
Great. So you've been a long time resident here. What did you hear about Stockton while in San Jose, however, and in terms of law enforcement and in terms of policing, and has anything changed your mind about Stockton since you've actually, now you're in the position, you're within the department, you've taken over as chief?
You know, as you know, crime, it crosses a lot of lines, you know, as far as boundaries and jurisdictions. And even back in San Jose, you know, I would push my specialized units would come out to Stockton to devolve on cases that we knew our suspects were in Stockton. And just the level of professionalism was always messaged to me, even when I got into the process for Stockton. My San Jose officers and command staff would tell me about the good working relationships they've had with Stockton Police Department, the incredible amount of expertise in the department. And that's what I've seen since I've been here. Some incredible men and women in this department are very passionate. Like San Jose, Stockton's very lean, when it's compared to other agencies and, the populations they serve. But, when you're lean, you have to be better. You have to be more effective. You have to lean on each other more. And I think Stockton Police Department does an incredible job at doing that.
Are there key differences between San Jose and Stockton?
What I notice about Stockton is a lot of generations, a lot of Stocktonians for going back so over 100 years, just a lot of Stocktonians. So the roots run very deep. San Jose is, there are generations there, but it's a lot of transition in San Jose. A lot of folks come in for big business and engineering and stuff to where they're not as deeply connected within the areas of San Jose.
You are the first African American police chief in the city of Stockton's history. I've had these discussions in the past with former Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn and recently with Sacramento County Sheriff-elect Jim Cooper, who were the first as well. What does this mean to you, and how or will it shape how you lead the department, or is it just a headline?
It means a lot to me, and I really learned this in post George Floyd, right? After George Floyd incident, a lot of things came out about policing, and I started getting hit up just saying, "Hey, not only are you in policing, but you also are a black man," and my perspective became very important for other people to hear how it is playing both sides. We had a lot of criticisms, after George Floyd. And I believe it's my responsibility to be an ethical officer, regardless of what race I am, and to build a culture of inclusion with our communities and supportive of diversity in the department. We should mirror the community we serve, and that's something we're working towards.
Given that there is this larger theme of diversity when it comes to the upper ranks that have historically been white and male, from your decades-long perspective in law enforcement, going back to 1993, why do you think that's happening now?
Well, I think it's just more intentional now to really we're understanding that you got diversity at the lower ranks, but to really have inclusivity, you really have to put people in positions of leadership roles as well.
You touched upon this, when it comes to the city of Stockton, and this is an issue across the country and also in California, violent crime is up. Stockton has historically had some of the highest homicide and violent crime rates in our area. According to your department's statistics, in August of 2021, there were 28 homicides for the year so far, but this year so far, it's up. It's 39. Each city obviously has its own dynamics, its own challenges. But with just 4 months into this job, what is becoming apparent to you about Stockton and the challenges that you want to commit yourself to overcoming?
I want to change the narrative for Stockton. Yes, it has its fair share of violence within the city, but there's also incredible things that happen in Stockton on a regular basis. I like to see the true measure of violent crime is those non-deadly encounters, where folks aren't dying, but violence is happening. Along those lines, and we look at aggravated assaults, where in our non-deadly shootings were down. We're also down in aggravated assault. So that's two of the three, statistical categories that we are doing better. And I think it's our partnerships, it's our ceasefire model, it's us all working together.
Yeah. I mean, you also said that you want to change the narrative of Stockton, that Stockton gets a bad rap, and you want to change that narrative from violent to vibrant. What is your role in changing this narrative for the better?
I think I have a huge role, and it just starts with me being transparent and me being out at not only homicide scenes, I have to be out at the incredible events, where it's things that we could really be proud of, that it involves our youth. I'm very passionate about youth, and we just need to make it intentional to get that narrative out there.
Yeah, I mean, you said this in the beginning of our conversation about being everyone's chief. You said that at your swearing-in ceremony. Where has law enforcement fell short when it comes to being everyone's chief, both within the department and throughout the community that it serves?
You know, I think it's two parts, right? Is you have to be everyone's chief internally, and I think that goes along the lines as organizational wellness. You know, if my rank and file do not feel well, I can't affect them to perform to our expectations, whether it's my expectations or the expectations of the community. So it's that internal procedural justice. It starts within where we value our people. We show we care about them, that we know that they're more than just a badge number, you know, that we also honor and champion the efforts of our support staff and professional staff. That starts internally. Then externally, we expand on that in our engagement with our communities, and we need to police and partner in the communities the way they see fit. You know, one community policing model isn't effective throughout the city. We have to do micro community policing models throughout the city.
Mm. Law enforcement retention is a big issue in recent years, and Stockton Police is included in this. You know, a simple drive through I-5 and you'll see other law enforcement agencies advertising better salaries out of town in the Bay Area. You lived in San Joaquin County or live in San Joaquin County. You commuted to San Jose to work with the police department. What are you working on in terms of retaining and recruiting officers to Stockton?
You know, you hit it right on. You know, my officers will never be the highest paid, but which means my leadership team and myself has to be on point in every other aspect of leadership. You know, we have to empower our people. We have to lead them. We have to develop them, train them. We have promotional opportunities at a higher rate that other agencies around us can't offer. We have more individuals on state and federal task forces that also our neighboring agencies can't do. So we do offer a lot of things. If, you know, people want to have a very proactive policing career and have the opportunity to work some very upscaled large crimes. So we got to partner with our ally agencies as well. And we are a larger department, so it's important that we work well with everyone. And it's important that we know our officers. You know, they have to know that we value them, that we understand they're doing more with less. And that'll help us with retaining. As far as recruiting, we've been doing a lot more. You know, we're partnering with athletic directors at the high school and college level to start those partnerships. You know, I think a lot of things translate well into policing that you get out of athletics. You know, as an athlete, you're held accountable. You know responsibility, accountability. Your support to others on your team. You eat dinner with folks you may not have ever had dinner with if it wasn't for being on that team. And I think that translates well into policing. So we are robust in our recruiting athletes, where we're partnering with military bases as well. We've shrunk the length of time from contact to completion. So we're taking a lot of proactive steps to really make us competitive when it comes to hiring.
Finally, we have you back on a year from now. What do you hope to report back to us about what's happening in Stockton under your leadership as chief?
You know, I want to report back that we're well, you know, that we're launching a crisis management unit internally so we can make sure our officers are well and focused on their assignments. You know, we're going to work to rebuild. We're going to build back better. You know, we have a lot of vacancies, and it's also an opportunity to really build back a strong agency, you know, and also we're going to work on crime reduction and that narrative. You know, hopefully when we Google Stockton next year, it's going to say vibrant.
Chief McFadden, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
And that is Chief Stanley McFadden, Stockton's new police chief. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.